All right, Tavos, say good morning. Today's daf is daf yud. A lot to do today. We left off on daf tes amud beis. V'ha'ika. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. I'm going to have a lot of work to do today. So v'ha'ika l'shma. So we'll remember again, the Mishnah was discussing the ways in which Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim are similar, right? Gitei Nashim, divorce documents, Shechruri Avadim, documents of emancipation. How are they similar? So remember again, the Braisa quoted three ways. Rabbi Meir had a fourth way. And the Gemara is trying to understand, are there not additional ways in which they are in fact similar? So the Gemara says, I v'ha'ika l'shma. Rabbi said, what about the fact that both Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim have to be lishma, have to be written for the sake of a particular woman or the sake of a particular eved? So the Gemara says, Bishlam al Rabbah, Haydu Molech Umevi. So according to Rabbah, okay, lishma is included, because remember in the original list of comparisons, so one of them was Molech Umevi. Molech Umevi, according to Rabbah, means lishma. However, Ela l'Rava Kashya, but according to Rava, ultimately, why doesn't the Braisa list Lishma Visu Bein l'Rava, Bein l'Rava Ha'ika Mechubar? Rabbi will say, furthermore, according to Rava and to Rava, there's another comparison, which is what? Mechubar. Rabbi will say, Mechubar means what? That Aloch Lamaisa, you cannot write, we actually spoke about this a few days ago, you can't write a get on something that is Mechubar l'Karka. So for example, again, if I want to write a get on a tree, man wants to write a get on the tree, so that does not work. That does not work. Even if you write it, sign it, and subsequently detach it, that get would not be kasha, because the get itself must be written on something that is talush. That is not just halacha by Gitei Nashim, it's also halacha by Shechruri Avadim. So this is another comparison. So the Gemara says, Ki katani psul dirabanan, daraisa lo katani. To which the Gemara says, you're right, when we're speaking about the comparisons between Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim, we're only speaking about comparisons that they share with things that are rabbinically invalid. But we are not going ahead and speaking about things that are biblically invalid. To which the Gemara says, is that true? V'ha arkos shel ovdei kochavim depsulo doraisuhu v'katoni. But I will say, one of the comparisons that we made is that although normally a shtar that is made in arkos in Gentile courts is not a valid shtar, but Gitei, even though normally shtaros that are made in a Gentile court are valid shtaros, Gitei Nashim and Shechruri Avadim, if they are done in a Gentile court, are not kosher documents. The Rabbos said, now that invalidation is a biblical invalidation. In fact, Rashi points out over here, it's in the middle of the Rashi of Psula Dirabanan. Rashi says, actually right across from Tosos Milsa, Tosos says, V'ha arkos psula doraisa, she'ein edusam kosher, lefi she'inon betoras gin v'kidushin, v'rachmana amar v'kasav v'nasan, Mish yeshno bichlal nesina, yeshno bichlal ksiva. So we'll say the Gemara makes a drasha, which we'll see later on. Vikasa v'nasan, only those who have the ability to write the get are in the parsha ot, or say only those who have the ability to give a get, in other words, a subject to the laws of gin, have the power to write a get. Therefore, our kos, Gentile courts, which have nothing to do with the halachos of gin, cannot write a get. So I will say the source of that invalidation is a biblical invalidation, and yet that is included in the list, to which the Gemara says, Be'edei mesira, ucharebi elazar da'amar edei mesira karsi. No, because the Mishnah reflects whose view? The Mishnah reflects the view ultimately, again, of Rabbi Elazar, who says, Edei Mesira Kasi. And Rabbi say, we touched on this machlokes a little bit already. We'll touch on it much more in the coming dapim, which is a fundamental machlokes as to Edei Mesira Kasi or Edei Chasima Kasi. Which Eidos actually validates the get? Is it the Edim who sign on the get? That's Edei Chasima Kasi? Or is it Edei Mesira? Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Or is it the Edei Mesira? The witnesses who witness the giving over of the get. Which of those actively got invalid the get there? So we'll say, take a look at Rashi in just a moment. Rabbi Elazar Yidamar Edim Esira Karsi. Ve'in sarach lichtom beget. Ve'chikasav kra ve'kasav aksivas aget ksiv. Ve'lo achasim resedei edim. So we'll say, the Gemara wants to now suggest something very interesting. That the case of our kos is fascinating. The case of our kos, the case of a get written in a Gentile court, that will be kosher is a case of where the get was written by a Jewish scribe, because according to Rabbi Elazar, if you hold Eidei Mesira Karsi, the get itself must be written Lishma. So therefore, again, the get was written by a Jewish scribe, but it was signed by Gentile witnesses in a Gentile court. So I will say, if you hold Eidei Mesira Karsi, then technically speaking, that get is technically kosher. Because as long as the primary writing was done by a Jewish scribe Lishma, the signatures of the witness, you don't really need signatures of witnesses on the document itself. You just need Jewish witnesses to witness the giving over of the get. So listen to this. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting is the following. When the Braisa says that let's say Gitin Ashen Shechirei Avadim, written in Gentile courts, are pasul, what type of psul is that? That's not a psul d'oraisa, but it's a psul d'rabbanon. How is it a psul d'rabbanon? Because if you hold Eidei Mesira Karsi, if you hold that it's the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get who affect the validity of the get, then in reality, as long as the scribe was Jewish, we don't really care who does or who doesn't sign on the get, because you don't really even need signatures on the get. So in this case, you happen to have Gentile signatures. The halacha is that get will be pasul midirabanan. Why is it pasul midirabanan? Because the rabbis were concerned that if there are Gentile signatures, if there are Gentile witnesses who sign on the get, one may come to rely on those witnesses at some point in time. And therefore, the rabbis ruled such a get to be rabbinically invalid, but biblically, it's technically kosher. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is proving its assertion that the only comparisons we're making between Gitin Ashur and Shechirei Avadim in this case are cases ultimately that are pasul midirabanan. I v'hamid iktani seifa, Rabbi Shimon Omer af elu ksherin. B'yat Rabbi said, we saw in the seifa, I should say, we will see in the seifa on Yulam Adbeis, that Rabbi Shimon says, even Gitin Nashim and Shechirei Avadim written in our courts, written in Gentile courts, are in fact going to be kosher. Va'am Rabbi Zeira Yared Rabbi Shimon L'shitas Toshav Elazar Damar Eidei Mesira Karsi. And the way we explained Rabbi Shimon's Shita is that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says, Eidei Mesira Karsi. Mechlal de Tanakama Savarlo. That Rabbi said we can infer from that's what? That the Tanakama, who is the Tan of our Mishnah, does not hold that way. In which case, again, Rabbi Osai, when the Mishnah says that a Gitei Noshim or Shechirei Avadim that are done in our coast, that's talking about something that is Pasul Midoraisa. If it's Pasul Midoraisa, then it blows a hole in what we just said before. We said before that we're only discussing again situations that are Pasul Midrabanon, but the Psul of our coast over here seems to be a Psul Doraisa, top of Yod, Ika Beinaihu. The practical difference between them will be Shemos Mufakim. Suppose I twitch the Gemara answers, both the Tanakama, the Tana of our Mishnah here, and Rabbi Shimon on Yud Amud Beis, both subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, namely Eidei Mesira Karsi. Eidei Mesira Karsi. And the issue at play over here is what happens. So if you hold Eidei Mesira Karsi, let's play this through. Eidei Mesira Karsi means it's the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get to the woman who ultimately affect the validity of the get. Okay, so if that's the case, then I don't really even need witnesses to sign on the get at all. But they do, and therefore, technically speaking, Gentile witnesses who sign on the get do not impact the validity of the get. However, rabbinically, we will say that what? Rabbinically, we'll say that the get is invalid because we're concerned that people may come to rely on the Gentile signatures in order to validate the get. Fine. This is what the Gemara says. Let's say you have a case of Shemos Muvhakim. So we'll say, we'll see this in actually tomorrow's daf. What's Shemos Muvhakim? Shemos Muvhakim are names that are clearly Gentile in nature. Right? So, I don't know, today it's hard to, Chris. I'm assuming, right? There aren't too many Jewish Chris's, right? So you go ahead. Is that correct? Pashtos. So we'll say, listen to this case. Let's say you have signatures on the get that are clearly not Jewish. They're clearly not Jewish. So what's the status of the get midirabanan? Let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Tap Rashi and Yudam and Aleph. Ika benai ushemos mufakim. Kilomar tanakama bishitas the Rabbalazar Kai. Umidraban who deposited Dilma Asilam Ismach Achasuman the Mosra Bifnehem. Vasra Bishimon the Mimar. Im Shemos mufakim da ovde kochavim heim. Shein Yisran the Kraan Baosan Shemos. Lav Hainu Mizuyaf mitocho. So listen to this. So says the Gemara, the Nafkamina will be our Tana in our Mishnah holds that even if the names are clearly Gentile, and therefore no one's ever going to come to rely on them to validate the get is still possible midrabanan. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, who we'll see in Yeretz Hashem a little bit later today, holds that if the names are clearly Gentile, therefore again, there is no fear that anyone is ever going to rely on these names to validate the get, and therefore the get will be kosher even midirabanan. So the Gemara says, I v'hav v'chazara d'oraisa v'katani, but I will say one of the comparisons that we had between Gitei Noshim and Shechrui Avadim is that technically speaking, again, a husband could retract both of them. And yet, again, if the husband retracts the get or the get Shechrur, ultimately, again, that invalidates the get Midoraisa, and yet it's still quoted in the list. Alaki Katani Milsa Delesa Bikidushin. Milsa the Isa Bikidushin Lo Katani. To which the Gemara says, you're right. The only things Rabbo say, that the only comparisons that we're making between Gitei Noshim and Shechrur Avadim are situations or are factors that are, I should say, are cases that do not apply to Kiddushin. Cases that apply to Kiddushin as well, we do not go ahead and list as comparisons between Gitei Noshim and Shechrur Avadim. We'll say, take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ela ki katani milsa d'lesa b'kiddushin kelomar, ki parchonim la'el ha'ika b'mechubar u'lishma, lo mishani, lo tishani psula d'oraisa lo katani, ela ima milsa d'isa b'kiddushin lo katani, kegon lishma u'mechubar isa nami b'shtari kiddushin. So what the Gemara essentially says over here now is, well, see, here's what's bothering the Gemara. The Gemara makes it sound like there are only three comparisons between Gitei Noshim and Shechrur Avadim. All the Gemara is pointing out is it's not true. It's clear that there are more than three areas, there are more than three common denominators between Shechrur Avadim and Gitei Noshim. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but we're only speaking about comparisons that fit into a certain framework. So at first we thought only a framework of Dirabana Nataraisa, so that doesn't work. Now the Gemara is suggesting is we're only speaking about comparisons that are unique to these two that don't apply to, let's say, Kiddushin. So we'll say, for example, the first mission in Kiddushin says that there are three ways in which a man could be Mekadesh a woman, right? Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So let's say a man is Mekadesh a woman with Shtar, with a document. So we'll say that document, interestingly enough, the Gemara is suggesting, has to be Lishma, has to be for the sake of this particular woman, and also cannot be written on something that is mechubar lekarka. So therefore, the Gemara says when we're looking for comparisons between Gitei Noshim and Shechrur Avadim, we're looking for comparisons that are unique to these two and not shared by other types of documents like Shtari Kiddushin. That's why, again, we're not including Lishma. That's why we're not including Mechubar. To which the Gemara says, "I v'ha chazara gufa isa b'kiddushin." But one second. But I will say, what about the fact that the husband has the ability, or the master has the ability, to retract Gitei Noshim and Shechrur Avadim after he dispatches it with a shliach? That also applies to Kiddushin, right? If a man dispatches a shtar for Kiddushin with his shaliach and then cancels the shlichos, he has the ability to invalidate the Kiddushin like that, to which the Gemara says, b'shlichos ba'al karcha t'v'gerishin isa u'b'kiddushin lasa. So we'll say the fundamental distinction is that in Gerishin, both Gitei Noshim and Shechrur Avadim, so we will see these processes can take place against the will of the individuals. A man could divorce his wife against her will. A master could free his servant against his will. A man cannot be Mekadesh a woman ultimately against her will. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, what comes out from this sugya is, there are a number of different comparisons between Gitei Nashim and Shechruei Avadim. According to the Tanakhama, there were three. According to Rabbi Meir, ultimately there were four. And even though technically speaking, there are more than three, or there are even more than four, the Gemara is only choosing to list certain circumstances or certain comparisons between Gitei Nashim and Shechruei Avadim that are unique by those two and don't apply in other cases. I will say, just also keep in mind the underlying machlokis over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, just about Ede Mesira Karsi or Ede Chasima Karsi. Again, we have not even seen that. It's actually, we're going to begin to see it on Amud Beis today, but that's going to be one of our major machlokisim in terms of what type of testimony actually creates the validity of the get. We reflexively assume that it's the witnesses who sign on the shtar, the witnesses who sign on the document that create the validity of the get. We will see, we'll say, Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, that no, or actually, Rabbi Lazar, that it is the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get who actually attest to validity. But we'll see that. Says the Mishnah, Kol get sheyesh alav eid kusi pasul. We'll say any get in which there is an eid kusi signed on it, the get is pasul. So we've spoken about the kusim already many times. Remember again, converts whose conversion ultimately was always a little bit suspect, only because they were still worshipping idolatry even after their conversion, and therefore it was not immediately clear if they were truly Jewish or not. Therefore, again, if you have a get in which you have an eid kusi, the get itself is pasul. Rashi says, eid kusi pasul, the chashidi a'edus sheker, because they are chashud, we suspect them of lying. Chutz mi gitei nashim v'shechruei avadim. Also, with the exception of gitei nashim v'shechruei avadim, or even if you have an eid kusi, the get will still be kosher. Ma'aseh shev yulif mi Rabbi Gamliel v'kfar osnoi, get isha v'hayu eidav eidei kusim v'hechshir. And also, now the Gemara Mishnah tells a story that one time they brought a get before Rabbi Gamliel in Kfar Osnoi, was a get isha, and there were eidei kusim, there were witnesses who were kusim who were signed on it, and Rabbi Gamliel said that the get was kosher. All right, we'll have to explain that story. Says the Gemara, Mani Mas Nisin, whose opinion does a Mishnah affect? Now, this is fascinating. Lo Tanakama, velo Rabbi Lazar, velo Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Mishnah is not the Tanakama, it's not Rabbi Lazar, and it's not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, what does that mean? I will say, listen to this. This is really amazing. This Sanya, Matzos Kusi. I will say, let's say a Kusi makes Shmura Matzah. Right? Let's say kusi makes shmura matzah. So the shaila is va'ad matzas kusi muteres. So the matzah of a kusi is muter. Va'adam yotze ba yidei chavasa bePesach, and a person could fulfill his obligation on Pesach. Now we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. This is amazing. Rashi says matzas kusi muteres. There's two different statements that are being made over here. What does it mean that the matzah of a kusi is muter? So Rashi says bePesach la'achila v'lo chayshin u'shama hechnitza. So we'll say, when it says that it's mutter, it means that we assume that the matzah of a kusi is not chametz. That's number one. Next, v'adam yotzei ba'idei chovasa b'pesach. Look at the next Rashi. A person could fulfill his obligation with it on Pesach. Says Rashi, mishum chovas layla harishon, shuchayev le'echol matzah mishtameres kidichsiv, ba'erev tochlu matzos, v'afilu yadinan ba, delo hechmitza, lo nafak ba ele imkin avad la shimor l'shem chovas matzo, dechsev ushmartem es hamatzos, or hamitzvos, v'kusim b'kiyem ein, shetzricha l'shtamer l'shma v'osin la shimor. So also listen to this. This is just a general important halacha to know. You know, people often wonder, so I don't understand, why do I have to spend $22 a pound on shmura matzah, right? So my Yehuda matzos are also kosher l'Pesach. So why can't I use those? So first of all, you should know it's not so pashat halachically. According to many, you can use those. You shouldn't, but you technically can use them if a person doesn't have anything else. The idea is that shmura matzah has to be shmura, has to be guarded. Machlokes as it's shmura mishas ktsira, shmura mishas techina, but let's assume for a moment that it has to be guarded from the time that the wheat is harvested, that it doesn't come in contact with any kind of water. What the Tanakhama is saying over here is not only is the matzah of a kusi not chametz, but the matzah of a kusi is kasha for shmura matzah. That we believe that the kusi ultimately, again, properly guarded the wheat from the time that it was harvested, that it would not come in any contact with water, and therefore can be used to discharge my biblical obligation of matzah on the Leil HaSeder. That's the Tana Kama. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar Oser, Lefi Shein Bekin Betik Duke Mitzvos. Rabbi Elazar says you can't use their matzah. You can't use their matzah. Rabbi Elazar is prohibiting it on all counts. It's chametz, and you can't go ahead and use it for shmura matzi. Either why? Because kusim are not meticulous with the details of mitzvos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, one second. Kol mitzvah shechziku ba kusim, listen to this. Kol mitzvah shechziku ba kusim harbe, harbe medak tikin ba, yoser mi Yisrael. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it depends. Kusim, they're like smorgasbord Jews. So what happens? So they like this, they don't like that. They'll take a little bit of this. No thank you for that. But whatever they do take, whatever they do, they're exceptionally meticulous. So I will say, so here you have a three-way machlokes about the matzah of a kusi. Tanakam is saying, absolutely kosher lePesach, and you can even use it for the Seder. Rabbi Elazar is saying, absolutely chametz, can't use it at all. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it depends. Are kusim meticulous with the mitzvah of matzah? If so, their matzah is kosher. If they're not meticulous, then their matzah is not kosher. To which the Gemara says, money. So whose opinion does our Mishnah, remember, what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that any get that has an 8 kusi on it is possible, except for gitei nashim eshechri avadims. Whose opinions our Mishnah reflect? E tanakama afilu shar shtaros nami. So we'll say the tanakama seems to generally validate kusim. So if it's a tanakama, the signature of a kusi as an 8 should be good even on other documents other than gitei nashim and shechri avadim. So the Gemara says, E Rabbi Elazar, afilu get isha namilo. And if it's Rabbi Elazar, then Abosai, again, Rabbi Elazar seems to invalidate kusim altogether. And therefore, again, even if they sign on a get on gitei nashim, it should also not be good. V'i Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ida achzik afilu shar shtaras nami. V'ida lo achzik afilu get isha namilo. And Abosai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's approach is what? We have to see. Are they meticulous? Are they not meticulous? So if they're meticulous when they sign on shtaras, then their signature should be valid on all shtaros. And if they're not meticulous on this unsigning shtaros, then their signature should not be valid even on gitei nashim. To which Rabbi Elazar, whose opinion? V'chi teima Rabbi Shimon Gamliel u'da achzuk baha v'lo achzuk baha. So Rabbi Elazar, maybe you'll say, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and it must be the following situation. Kusim are meticulous with the laws of gittin. And therefore, again, because they're meticulous with the laws of Gittin, they are believed in the realm of Gittin. And that's why if an 8 kusi signs on a get, we believe that a signature is valid. But in other areas of shtaros, they're not meticulous. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, ihachi, my ir yachad, afilu treinami. But say, if that's the case, that really kusim are meticulous in the realm of Gittin, just not meticulous in the other areas of shtaros, then what? Why does the Mishnah only validate the signature of what? Of 1 8 kusi. Let it be what? Even 2 8 day kusim, right? Again, if they're meticulous, then they're meticulous. Then even if both edim who are kusim, it should be okay. Alama Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo'echshiru bo'ela eid echad kusi bilvad. Why is it then that we paskin, or why is it then that according to the Mishnah, we only say that only 1 8 kusi is going to be valid? To which the Gemara says, the olam Rabbi Elazar. The truth is, what's the case? The case over here really is that the Mishnah is reflecting the view of Rabbi Elazar. Now, what's Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar says that in general, kusim are invalid because they're not believed. They don't have a cheskas kashrus. So how could Rabbi Elazar allow an 8 kusi to sign on the get? To listen to this. Ukigon dechasim Yisrael lebasof. I will say, what's the case? Look at Rashi before you turn the page. Rashi says, Kigon dechasim Yisrael eid hasheni. So I will say, there are two witnesses signing on the get. One is a kusi, one is a Yisrael. The Yisrael, the second eid, signs underneath the eid kusi. Signs underneath the eid kusi. So I will say, so what's the psha? What does that mean? Listen to this. Amud Beis. This is amazing. The e lav de kusi chavar hava. Because I will say, were it not that the kusi was a chavar. Chavar in this context means, were it not for the fact that this Yisrael knew that the kusi was a reliable individual, lo machtim le mikame. He would not have allowed him to sign first. The fact that the Kusi is signed first, and that, again, the Yisrael signed second, indicates that the Kusi must be someone of standing. Take a look at Rashi. De'ilav de Kusi chaver hava, lo havi ha'Yisrael machtim le'lekusi mikameh. Were it not that the Kusi was a kosher, the Yisrael would not have blessed, would not have allowed him to sign first. To which the Gemara says, okay, ihachi, afilu shar shtaros nami. We understand that argument. It sounds like a pretty sound argument. Again, if the Yisrael is signing second, it means that he saw the Kusi sign, and therefore, again, he's still willing to sign on the document, which the Maisa, again, must mean that he knows that the Kusi is kosher. So if that's the case, why should this halacha be unique to Gittin? Why don't we say that by any shtar, that as long as the Yisrael signed second, which means he allowed the Kusi to sign before him, that by itself attests to the validity of this Kusi as an aid? To which the Gemara says, no, because by other shtaros, Ema, Ela, Emrinon, Ravcha, Shavak, Leman, De Kashish, Mine. So we'll say, because by other shtaros, I would say that the reason the Yisrael signed second was why? Because there were other people around, and he thought that another Yisrael was going to be appointed ultimately again to sign as a witness as well. That other Yisrael was older than him, and therefore he left space on top for ultimately an older person to sign. Out of deference to the older individual, he was just so you should know, this we'll get into this, but this is a fascinating discussion in general in terms of signing shtaros. Is someone permitted to be deferential to someone else and sign second, leaving space on the top? It's an interesting din in shtaros, which we'll discuss. In any event, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that by other shtaros, the fact that the Yisrael signed second is not a raya, because maybe he wasn't leaving room for the Kusi. Maybe there was another elderly Jew over there who he thought was going to sign, and therefore is leaving space for the elderly Jew to sign, not the Kusi. And when it turns out that the Kusi signed, the Yisrael's second signature is not a shtempel on the signature on the Kusi. If that's the case, I don't say, says the Gemara, Hacha nami, Ravcha shavak leman dekashish mimei. So why don't you say something by Gittin then? I don't understand. If that's your argument for saying that the signature of a Yisrael under an eight Kusi doesn't work ultimately again by Shar Shtaros, because the concern is that maybe the Yisrael signed second because he thought there was another Jew who was signing on top, a Jew who was older than him, and therefore again the signature of the Jew second does not validate the signature of the Kusi above him. Why don't you make that same argument by Gittin Hashem as well? Oh, to which the Gemara says, Amud at Papa, Zos Omeres, Eide Haget, Ein Chosmin Ze Belo Ze. Oh, Rabbi Sosa says that, Papa, because you see, bless you, because you see a very important yesod, which is what? Which is that Lemaisa, again, when it comes to a get, the witnesses on Gittin cannot sign, the witnesses for a get only sign in the presence of one another. Let's take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Zos Omeres, Masnisin de Machshir Beget, Upasl Beshar Shtaros. So we'll say our Mishnah that allows for an eight Kusi to sign and with the Yisrael, and says that that's kosher, but passels by other shtaros. Ashmo inon de eide haget in chosmin elazeb ifneze teaches us that the eide haget only sign in the presence of one another. Hilchach al karchach Yisrael ze ra es akusi chosim lamala vuchasim lamata. Therefore, Rabbi say, because by Gittin, the witnesses must sign within the presence of one another. Therefore, the Yisrael saw the Kusi sign first, and he still decided to sign second. V'ilav dechavaru, lo chasmi mikameh. And were it not that the Yisrael knew that the Kusi was a chaver, that he was trustworthy, the Yisrael would not have signed under him. Aval sh'edei shar shtaros, chos min zeh shalo bifnei zeh. Hilchach ikal mechash Yisrael zechasam rishon bechas betachtes hashtar v'shavak ravcha leman dekashish v'lo ladashi chas mosak usin amal. Isn't this amazing? No? Incredible, thank you. Right? So this is fascinating because this is a fundamental din in shtaros. What the Gemara is saying is like this, when it comes to Gittin, there's no such thing as, okay, I'll take the get to aid number one, he'll sign, thank you very much. I'm going to take a total location for aid number two. The edim of the get must sign within the presence of one another. Therefore, again, in that case, where aid number one is a kusi, aid number two is a Yisrael, Yisrael is only going to sign if what? if he knows that Kusi is a valid upstanding, because we'll say, you should know in general, what's driving this is, the Gemara automatically assumes people never want to put their names on invalid shtaros, on invalid documents. Why? Because if it turns out that the document is invalid, it erodes your credibility. Therefore, again, if I'm going to put my signature on something, I'm going to know who that guy is on the top line. So even though that guy is a kusi, the fact that I'm signing under says that I know that he's kosher. But Rabbi says the Gemara over here, when it comes to other shtaros, so there is not a din that the witnesses have to sign in the presence of one another. Therefore, again, if I'm with a group of people and the balashtar asks me to sign, and I see there's an elderly Jew next to me, I assume he's going to ask him next. So what happens? I sign second because I want to leave out of deference to the older individual. I leave the room, and then it turns out that what? That the balashtar asks the kusi to sign. I may never even know about that. Why? 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 Because I'm not obligated to be there when the other witness signs. Therefore, suggest the Gemara where you have an eight kusi and then second signature Yisrael by a get. And the truth is, you see, by based on this, it doesn't even matter if the Yisrael signature is first or second. Because by getting, at the end of the day, but second is even better. But by getting, at the end of the day, witnesses cannot sign, not in the presence of... Witnesses must sign in the presence of one another. By Shar Shtaros not, to which the Gemara says, by the way, my timer, why is it that by Gin, witnesses must sign in the presence of one another? Amravashi, Gezerah Mishum Kulchem. I will say, well, actually, see this case. This is an incredible case. The case of Kulchem, where a man says to a group of people, Kulchem Kisvu Get Leishti, all of you, let's say he says to a group of 10 people, I want all of you to write a get. So the Gemara says, what do we do with that statement? So the way the Gemara interprets the statement is that one person writes, everyone else signs as Edim. So Rabbi says, in a case of Kulchem, everyone must sign in the presence of one another. So the Gemara essentially says, in order to avoid any confusion, in all cases of Gittin, we make the witnesses sign in the presence of one another. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lo Hichshiru Bo Ela Eid Echad Kusi Bilvad. So Rabbi says, remember again, Rabbi Lazar said that we only, even though we allowed by Gitinashim Shechurei Avadim, the use of an eight kusi, we only allow the use of one eight kusi. That's it. One eight kusi per get, not more than one. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon." So what is it coming to teach? It's Tanina. We learned this in the Mishnah. Kol get sheyish alav eight kusi pasul. We'll say, what did the Mishnah say? Any get, any document that has an eight kusi on it is pasul. Chutz migitin Hashem v'shichurei avadim. So the Mishnah said explicitly that even when it comes to gitin Hashem v'shichurei avadim, all that is permitted is what? Is one eight kusi. To which the Gemara says, "Imas nisin hava min afilu treinami," because from the Mishnah I could have said that really the Mishnah is actually saying that even two kusim are permitted on a get. But the hadik tanichad mishum de bishtaros afilu chad nami lo. The only reason the Mishnah wrote one is to teach me that even one is problematic. Ultimately, again by other shtaros. Kamashman Rabos, I know that the Mishnah is teaching me that all, even by giti nashim and shechurei avadim, where an eight kusi is kosher, it's only what? Only one eight kusi per get or per shichur avadim, but not two. So the Gemara says, "Utrelo, is that true? You can't have two eight kusim." V'ha katani ma'isa ve'viu lifnei Rabbi Gamliel lekfaras na'i get yishevayolav eidiv eida eide kusim v'hichshir. I will say, you know, the Mishnah was very strange because after the Mishnah says you could use one eight kusi, so what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah tells a ma'isa, tells a story. They brought a get before Rabbi Gamliel in kfaras na'i, and what happened? There were two Eide kusim on the get, and yet Rabbi Gamliel said that what? That it was kosher. So as it says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Tani Eido. So we'll say, so don't read it as Vahayu Eidov Eide kusim. Rather read it as Tani Eido. There was an Eid kusi, one Eid kusi. Rava Amar Rava says, no, that's not what it says. The Olam Trey, it's not true. The story of Rabbi Gamliel was with a get that had two Eide kusim on it. And what happened? Rabbi Gamliel miflig palig. Rabbi Gamliel is arguing on the first part of the Mishnah. The chisuri mechzer v'achikatani. Here's how the Mishnah is supposed to use. So we'll say the first part of the Mishnah says that how many kusim are kosher on a get? It's not a joke, right? How many kusim? Right? It's one kusi maximum per get, right? All you could have is maximum 1 8 kusi. And what happens? The Mishnah then says the Rabbi Gamliel machshir b'shnayim. Rabbi Gamliel says no, you could even have 2 8 kusim on a get, and the Gemara even tells a story to back up that assertion of Rabbi Gamliel. The Ma'as Anami Sheviu Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel Kfar Osnai Get Isha Vahayu Eidav Eidikus in the Hechsher. And the Mishnah actually tells a story where ultimately, again, they brought a get to Rabbi Gamliel and Kfar Osnai, and there were two witnesses who were kusim on the get, and Rabbi Gamliel paskin that the get was kosher. So again, obviously we don't have the case of kusim today, but the interesting question in terms of kashrus of edim, meaning what type of people are kosher to sign on a get, Emir Tashem, we're going to do that in a later sugya, but just understand that this sugya opens the door for that. But you see clearly, you show, so the Rambam paskins like the Tanakhama, not like Rabbi Gamliel. So the Rambam says that technically speaking, if you have one eid kusi, ultimately on the get will be kosher, which already tells us that there is some level of imperfection of eidus allowed on a get. Now, both say all of this is mishum iguna akilu barabonon, right? All of this is in order to go ahead and to relax certain standards in order to prevent aguna situations recurring. In other words, that once a couple has decided to divorce, our job, the halacha's job, is to make the process as easy as possible for the woman to get her get. Of course, again, the major sugya upon which all of this hinges is, do we paskin eide mesira or eide chasima karsi? Obviously, if you paskin eide mesira karsi, it's the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get, then the truth is what? Signatures on the get are not really necessary altogether. So again, there's a lot of stuff going on over here right now, so you'll just keep it all in mind. But I will tell you one piece of halacha lemaisa that does come out from this, is that we paskin that the witnesses who sign on the get must sign within the presence of one another. So we'll say you can't draft again and take it from witness to witness to witness, but rather the witnesses must be together and must sign in the presence of one another. Mishnah. Kol ashtara sa'olim bar kosha al dekochavim. Well, it's another interesting case. All shtaros that are written in Gentile courts, afapi shechosmeim al dekochavim ksherim. Even though Rabbi Osai, even though the signatures on it are Gentiles, the shtaros are ksherim, chutz migitei noshim v'shechirei avadim. Rabbi Osai, with the exception, ultimately, again, of gitei noshim and shechirei avadim, which, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, af ilu ksherim. Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Shimon says that even gitei noshim and shechirei avadim that are done in Gentile courts are kosher. Rabbi Osai, it's amazing. He says, lo huskru ela bizman shenasu behedjot. The only problem, we'll say, is if a gitei noshim and shechirei avadim are done by a head yot. Head yot, Rashi says, is ayidei ovdei kochavim head yotos she'inan danyonim. So Rabbi Shimon says that if gitei noshim and shechirei avadim are done by Gentile judges in a Gentile court, the document stands. The problem is if you go to your Gentile neighbor and say, listen, do you mind, you have a couple of minutes this Sunday afternoon, would you mind just drafting a get for me? That's going to be where the problem is. Rabbi Osai, this is a mind-blowing shita. So Rabbi Shimon actually says that even gitei noshim shechirei avadim that are drafted in Gentile courts ultimately will be kosher, says the Gemara. Kaposik v'tani. Rabbi Osai, let's just at least start this because this is a really fascinating sugya. Kaposik v'tani. Now, Rabbi Osai, remember, what was the first part of the Mishnah? First part of the Mishnah made it sound like all shtaros, all documents that are executed in a Gentile court are kosher. So the Gemara says, Kaposik v'tani, lo shna mecher, v'lo shna matana. Rabbi Osai, now the Mishnah seems to validate all types of shtaros. It doesn't make a difference if it's a shtar mecher or a shtar matana, a document of sale or a gift document. Now, it says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Bishlama mecher mechi yoev zuzikamayhu dekana vishtara raya ba'almuhu de'ilo yoev zuzikamayhu lo havamari nafshayu vikasina leshtara. So, Bosa, I understand why what we call a shtar mecher. We'll say, what's a shtar mecher? Shtar mecher is a bill of sale. I had a contract of sale. But I'll say, now generally, again, if you're going to buy property, so remember, property is bought with money. So the assumption is that if a Gentile court is going ahead and writing a document of sale, what does that mean? It means they saw the transaction occur. In other words, they saw the money change hands, and they saw, again, the buyer give the seller money. And we'll say, in this case, again, so remember, it's the money that affects the actual transaction. The document itself is only what? Is only proof of transaction. It's what we call a shtar raya. It's just the proof that the sale actually occurred. So I understand why if that document is drafted in a Gentile court, it will be kashuara bosai. Because remember, the Gemara is operating on a very interesting assumption, which is what? That Gentile courts are just. Right? That's again, and the reason for that is because non-Jews, b'nei Noach, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach is what? To set up a batei din, to set up a judicial system. So we're assuming right now that the Gentile judicial system is just as well. So therefore, again, judges are not going to record a deed of sale unless, of course, what? They saw the transaction executed in front of them. Because also remember, again, the Gentile judicial system also has to make sure that its honor and its integrity is intact. So unless, of course, they saw money change hands, they are not going to record any document. Therefore, I understand why the shtetl will be kosher. Elamatona b'maykakani, Rabosei, if I'm giving a gift to someone, so how is a gift conveyed? A gift is conveyed, ownership of a gift is conveyed, how, Rabosei? Through a shtar, that's what happens. A shtar matona. I write up a shtar. So va'ela matona ma'ikakani la'v b'hai shtara. V'hai shtara chaspa ba'almuhu. But Rabosei, again, when it comes to matona, Rashi says over here, da'ai v'yashtar hu'kona osim misyaris ha'shtar, hechi makni hai shtara chaspa. So listen to this. So when it comes to a matona, Rabosei, the way a matona is conveyed is like this. Let's say I want to gift you something. But I want to gift you my summer home in Florida. But we're going ahead, but we're in Baltimore. So how do I gift you something that is not here? How do I gift you something? Through a shtar. In which case, Rabosei, again, that shtar is the mechanism of conveyance. Right, that shtar, suppose you hear the difference, there are two different types of shtaros. It's called a shtar raya. Shtar raya means what? All that shtar does is it attests to a transaction that occurred. So I want to buy your house, I'm going to give you the money. The fact that I gave you the money, that's recorded in the shtar. But the shtar is not the mechanism of conveyance. The shtar just tells me what happened. That's different than a shtar matana. Because what does the shtar matana do? The shtar matana is actually the shtar that allows for the transaction to occur. Says the Gemara, I understand if you want to tell me that a shtar raya drafted by a Gentile court should work. I got it. But how could a shtar matana work? That means, again, it's the Gentile court that is actually allowing for the transaction to occur. Is that really possible? The Gemara literally says, "V'hai shtar chasa ba'amahu." Why should a shtar of conveyance hold any water if it's drafted by a Gentile court? It should be just like a pottery shard. Amar Shmuel, dina demachusa dina. To which Shmuel says, it does work. You know why it works, Rabosei? Because we abide by the laws of the land, which means that we abide by the court systems of the land as well. And because of that, therefore, again, even the shtar matana that is drafted by the courts of the land ultimately is a valid shtar, and therefore the transaction will be valid. The other possibility is v'baisema tani chutz mikigitin nashim. Rabosei, the second answer is, you know what? It doesn't work. Chutz mikigitin nashim means chutz mikigitin nashim. Rabosei, that what does that mean? The Mishnah is only validating any shtar that is only like a shtar raya. But any shtar that is like gitin nashim. Rabosei, what does it mean? Gitin nashim. Just like a get is a shtar that affects a transaction. In this case, the transaction is divorce. So too, again, any shtar that affects a transaction will not be kosher in our cause, will not be kosher Gentile cause. So both sides, we end off over here. I'm going to leave you on this cliffhanger with a fundamental machlokes. Here's what everybody agrees. Don't really have to stop. Everybody agrees that a shtar raya, a document that just attests to the fact that a transaction occurred, such a shtar is kosher when it comes from a Gentile court. What's the machlokes? What happens if it's not a shtar raya, but it's what we'll call a transactional shtar? It's a shtar that actually, the shtar itself affects the transaction, like a matana, like a get. So what's our second opinion says, those type of shtaros do not work when they are ultimately, again, affected in, when they are drafted or when they are written in Gentile courts, they only work in Beis Din. Other opinion will say, no, they even work in Gentile courts. Why? Because dina demalchusa dina. And I'll say the Rush has a whole arichus over here, which maybe we'll touch on tomorrow a little bit, about when we say dina de machusa dina, when we don't say dina de machusa dina. Merit Hashem to be continued tomorrow. I'm sorry. I know.